Well, I guess to kind of start off with, let's talk about this lovely church. This is a church your family's been going to for decades, and you're quite familiar with.
Correct.
How did you first get the idea of doing something involving utilizing the church? Was that the initial idea or the initial location, or did like the story come first and you thought maybe we can use the church?
Well, actually, it kind of morphed from, I had an idea. Well, I used to own a cleaning business, so, you know, I dealt with a lot of churches and stuff like that. So I know that a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that the church, some stuff that I witnessed, some stuff that the general perception of a church is always trying to get a new building. So it kind of started from that. Then it started to kind of morph into an idea. And I originally was going to do it at a different church, but I went to a funeral of my aunt's at the church that we ended up using, and because I haven't attended in a while, my family still attended, but I didn't attend for a while. And then I was talking to the pastor, who's a newer pastor, because the original pastor, his uncle had passed away, and he was a younger, more forward-thinking pastor, and I was talking to him just casually. He said, well, you can shooting here. I was like, wow. So then the church was much bigger. It had more rooms, compartments. You know, some of the places I didn't know existed, because as a kid, I wasn't allowed to, you know, run around the church. So that's why I started going around. I said, oh, wow, yeah. So then the story started changing and, you know, getting more depth. So, you know, it just kind of more from an idea to seeing it, to changing locations to become more, you know, an in-depth story.
So it's kind of fascinating, since you've seen kind of behind the scenes, was it more like, did you ever have like a crazy incident while being in a church, or was it just more kind of like the behind the scenes financial dealings that were intriguing to you?
Well, just the disagreement of direction, as far as like, you know, I've dealt with a few churches, like I think four or five, and just me being around, my cleaning business, me being around and just seeing, you know, the old guard versus the new guard, or I guess old time versus new time. You know, people want different directions for the church, or what's acceptable as far as, you know, dance, you know, stuff like that. You know, so there's a lot of basic differences in, you know, the philosophy and direction of the churches. So they kind of trying to grow from there, being around, you know, financial, yeah, a little bit, because basically, you know, everyone wants has different opinion where money should go and what programs they should have. So, I mean, that's natural, and that's normal.
How did kind of like when you got the script ready and you got the idea ready, what were the next steps for you as far as casting? I mean, who came on board first, and like, how did the project kind of get its start?
Well, I think, surprisingly, casting was very, very easy. I didn't get any no. Actually, I did get one no, but it wasn't really a no. It was someone that wanted a bigger part, but had already casted the other people. But Bill Mosey was pretty easy. I contacted his manager. He came on pretty quickly. Mr. Woodcock came on pretty quickly. Ashley Williams, I contacted her through Matthew Nadeau. He was a producer and actor in the movie as well. He had worked in a film with her, so that was pretty easy. Clint Howard was, it was pretty easy as well. I just sent him an email, and we talked on the phone, and he said, okay, I'll do it. And Q Stallworth, he contacted me. Then, you know, the local actors, I started, you know, holding auditions just to kind of fill out the cast, because my goal was to make it an ensemble cast, like bring local Philly actors to actually get a chance to work right next to established actors, because a lot of times in Philadelphia the actors are only getting like background roles or day roles. So I kind of wanted to present an ensemble cast to give the local actors the rub with the established actors in this genre. So that was my goal. I was happy I was able to pull it off.
How did you get your crew together, like your DP Tom, and I know you landed your editor, was the guy who did both Jeepers Creepers, the first two ones. How did you get your crew?
Well, my crew, majority of my crew came through, I met Paul Irwin, who's worked on like Saturday Night Live as a production manager. I think he worked on a show, he worked on a show on Hulu, so he you know, he's familiar with the local crew in Philadelphia, so he brought on majority of the crew, the co-people that I knew, that I kind of filled out just from my rounds in the Philadelphia area. But as far as the editor and everyone in LA, like my editor, I reached out to him through his agent, and the person that did the color and the auto post production had come in LA, has come through either my contacts or my editor's contacts.
Now, as far as, was that a lot of the visual effects, like the smoke elements in the movie, was that all After Effects and post?
It was a mixture of both. We have practical, like, on set, and then we kind of enhanced it with in post.
As far as Clint's character, can you tell me a bit about the way you shot him and how much was added in post? Because I think he comes across as wonderful, just with the kind of opaque look he has, and then, you know, he's the red eyes. I mean, it you guys hit that kind of on the nail there.
Well, we're not giving a story away. We shot. Well, this is my first film. I did another film, a concept film. This is my first actual film. So a lot of the way you shoot for visual effects was kind of new to me, so I had to learn and relearn along the way. So it was pretty, well, for an experienced director, it was pretty easy. It would have been easier, but we had to shoot on different angles because I knew what I wanted. Here's the thing, when I shot the film, I knew what I wanted, but I wasn't sure how I was going to achieve it. That makes any sense. I had big plans what I wanted to do, but me being a first-time filmmaker based in Philadelphia, I knew my plan was to take the raw footage to L.A., but I wasn't sure how I was going to achieve my goal of getting what I wanted to do, especially with Clint. So we basically shot Clint on a green screen with a lot of different ways. We shot him regular, and we shot from different angles on top one, but anyway, we just overshot to have enough material. So when I go to a visual effects person, I can bring out the vision that I had. And you know, I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad I was able to pull it off too. You know, a lot of people are questioning about the kind of character, but you know, so I won't get a movie away, but I'm glad I was able to pull off certain things. I didn't have no idea what I was doing at that moment.
I've got to ask, you open with a quote from Corinthians, and it is a First Corinthians Baptist Church. Was that always in there, or did that come after you landed the church that you decided to do that quote, or was that something always in your script?
Well, you know what? I can say this about this movie. This movie has changed dramatically during the editing, because there's a lot of stuff in the film that wasn't actually shot during personal photography. We added a lot after. We had a lot of additional shoot days that we added to the film, and everything kind of fit together. So I guess it was sort of like, I would say, like a blessing. You know, even the ending of the film, that quote, the song, the Sinner Better Get Ready song that had a band cover. You know, a lot of those things came sort of like a happy accident. You know, it wasn't planned, it just kind of happened. So we were just talking one day about scriptures, about the building. My editor, who was Catholic, he just said, well, let's look up something. Then the first thing that popped up, boom, with that scripture on Google, we just put it in. So, you know, it was thought about, and like, it wasn't a lot of thought about what to put, and just popped up and it fit well. Same thing with the song. I wanted a song, like, when you watch Jeepers Creepers, you know the Jeepers Creepers, and they have like a theme song. So I wanted a theme song to where just so you remember the church. So I look for a song, and that scenario, you better get ready, time's come for cinemas die. That kind of came up in Google, and it was a public domain song. So I had Matthew find a band to cover, and the voice, you know, the voice of one of the actors just kind of hit it. They all hit it at the park. His voice especially was what I was looking for, what I had in mind. I couldn't explain verbally, but I knew what I wanted, and those guys knocked out the park. So, you know, something, just a lot of happy accidents.
Were you a big horror fan before, or, you know, was it always you wanted to do something in that genre, or it just kind of, you know, you thought of the idea?
Well, I'm a big movie fan, period. I like all genres of movies. Horror is obviously the when you're starting out, is the genre that you can do easier for budget wise. But I have other scripts that's, you know, I have a drama, I have a couple historical based scripts. One of them is, I have interest from an A-list actor that loved the script. I don't want to disclose it yet, but, you know, I'm just a fan of movies. But I'm also, you know, and I love horror films too. I love all movies. So I came up with the idea of doing a movie. I was trying to figure out which avenue I should take to make it, to financially, to make it easier. You know, I have investors, I have partners, but, you know, in order to do a great action film, you know, you can't do a great action film on $500,000. I mean, you could, but you can't. Because, you know, certain things are driven by cast. And with horror, I find that a lot of times you can have a good horror film without having a Denzel, you know. So I chose to get people that's known in the genre to where they're great actors, and they have a large following. But I kind of would need to spend $1 million on one person. Because most people that work in the horror genre, they actually have a love for the genre, and they're more lenient, and they'll come on a project to help, but they like the project. Versus an action film, you know, you have explosives, you have guns, you have insurance, so that, you know, just alone, you can be looking to spend, you know, do it correctly, millions of dollars without even, you know, doing any marketing. So I chose to do the horror genre first, and, you know, I have two other scripts in that genre that I'm going to be shooting as well. You know, but I just love all movies.
I've got to ask then, are you hoping to keep it in Philadelphia as far as the story locations? I mean, or are you looking to do New York or L.A.? I mean, what were your hopes for the other two scripts?
Well, right now we're looking, well, okay, in filming, as I get bigger, my budgets get bigger, you have to look at, as a producer, you have to look at test credits, and that's very important because, you know, if you want to, it does help with the budget, you know, and it does help you get a bigger, you know, put more money. It adds production volume, you know, from test credits. So I'm always looking to it. So I would like to keep it in Philly if I can, but, we're just waiting to see how the test credit thing goes. Philadelphia will always be my first choice to shoot certain films. I mean, if it makes sense. You know, we couldn't film a fantasy like Game of Thrones or something like that in Philadelphia, you know, but if it makes sense, I would rather shoot it my project in Philadelphia, if it makes sense.
Very cool. Well, we're on the verge of you having this released. I mean, it's got to be pretty exciting. It's literally October 5th is the first round of releases. I know that it'll be here in Texas. It's got to be kind of a crazy time for you, Dom.
You have no idea. This is surreal. I can't. It's sort of like, you know, when you do a film, and you know, when you do a film, you just hope one person will see it. You know, to have the opportunity, being an independent filmmaker, to have it be in multiple cities nationwide with the hopes of expanding more, you know, it's kind of surreal. Like, I haven't really slept like in the last month. You know, it's not. Like, I mean, it's so much I've learned this whole journey, as far as like for press and publicity and marketing, and you know, the hardest part. I mean, this part has been harder than actually making the film, I can tell you that, you know, as far as what needs to be done. I mean, filming is easy. You know, that's like a walk in the park compared to what has to be done behind the scenes, of getting your film rated, you know, getting your every material that goes out had to be approved by the MPAA. You know, it's just a lot of work, you know, but it's all worth it, though. So, you know, and the release is coming October 5th. Every day, you know, it's closer and closer. I'm like, oh, wow. People finally gonna be able to see my creations. I'm just like, I still can't remember or believe how I came up with the words to put it on the screen and to see the sequence and how it flows. I'm like, what was I thinking? How did I do that? I was in the hole. I was in the zone, I guess.
Well, Dom, I appreciate the time, buddy. I enjoyed the film. I think you do hit well with Clint's character. I hope the movie does well, buddy.
Thank you. And you said you're from Dallas, correct?
Yeah, we've got a couple. I think our screening's out in Grapevine and in Irving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Grapevine and Irving, yeah. We're looking, we may be hoping to look at a few movies at Grapevine and Irving, yes.
Perfect. Well, I'll definitely get the word out. And, Dom, you have a great day, buddy.
Thank you.